dude gets more screen time than Phasma got in the first two movies combined. Why? Why is all this fucking shit in the fucking movie? It's...
Yeah.
Fuck you!
So, I think...
That was the emotion I felt in the theater. Anger. A lot of it. I went to the dark side in this movie, guys.
The Epic Film Guys Podcast.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Epic Film Guys podcast. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Yesterday was Christmas, if you're listening to this on release day. We love you. We hope you had an absolutely amazing holiday with friends, family, and gods of podcasting, if you have those around in your home. Does anybody else have a god of podcasting?
There is only one.
I think we have the only one.
Yeah, we definitely
we're blessed.
So... Ladies and gentlemen, we are thrilled to have you here. I am, of course, Nick.
And I'm Justin. And, of course, Saucy, you're the only one of us that has seen this movie more than once.
And he's going to spank you with the belt now.
This is a big deal. Nick, I look forward to these every single year they come out. Our Star Wars reviews are something that, I mean, it's something that I always look forward to on the show.
Because we love Star Wars.
Yeah, we do love Star Wars. And sometimes... our feelings on those movies are controversial within our own little circle or outside of this circle and with our listeners. Sometimes people don't agree with us, and sometimes people actually hate us for our thoughts on Star Wars. So we'll see what happens tonight. I have a pretty good idea where we're going to go, but you never really know with this show.
I'll tell you where we're going to go right now, because this movie just came out. Loy Sauce.
Build that wall. Build that wall. Build that wall. Build that wall.
That's right. So now, we mentioned this. We talked about this before we started recording. There's so little that you can talk about with this film that I don't even think we're really going to basically do much of anything other than give a synopsis. So this is going to be pretty much a full spoiler review. So please come back after you've seen the movie and listen to the entire review. There's really... I mean, what could you even talk about with this movie without spoiling something?
You literally can.
Yeah. If you're one of the 10,000 people in the United States that hasn't seen this movie yet, don't listen and come back to it. Yes, I know that it's literally the worst box office of the entire new trilogy. I know it's not doing nearly as well, and it's bombing in China, but people are still seeing it. It's still a hit and everything, so just come back and wait to hear it until after you've seen the movie.
That is right.
Or if you don't give a shit, just listen to it anyway.
Or if you don't give a shit, just listen to it anyway. But Loy Sauce, please, will you let us know what Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker is all about?
Nick, I'd be happy to tell you what Star Wars Into Darkness is all about. So, as Rey trains with General Leia Organa, the Resistance discovers that the Sith Lord Emperor Palpatine is alive somehow. With new Supreme Leader Kylo Ren on their trail, Rey, along with Finn, Poe, Chewbacca, and the rest, set out to find a Sith Wayfinder to locate Emperor Palpatine and end the war once and for all. The Star War. The Star Wars, for that matter.
To end all of the Star Wars?
All of them.
Like forever?
This is the ninth film in the saga. They're wrapping up what they're calling the Skywalker saga. So this is the epic finale that we've been waiting 40 years to see. So I'm going to pass it over to you, gentlemen.
All right, well,
how do we even begin with this thing?
Let's just do this and get it out of the way. Let's smash down the wall, because we know we have to get into like thoughts about this movie, but there's no way to talk about anything in this movie, as we said, without talking about the plot. So if you haven't seen it and you don't want it to be ruined, this is your last chance. Once Reagan tears down this wall, Loy Sauce's lights went off in his room again. That's
it. He's got to sit in the dark. Are you trying to be like emo Kylo Ren in there?
I think
you're
that's
doing
what
it on
he's
purpose.
But let's
off.
Get it in here. Let's break down the wall, and then we're going to pass it over to Justin when we get started.
Tear down this wall. Tear it down. Reagan smash! Reagan smash!
So that's it. That's your last opportunity. Justin, get into it, baby. Let us have it.
All right, well, I got to tell you guys, this is one of the most surprisingly disappointing yet satisfying movies I've experienced the entire year. Yes, I am that member of this show that has a nostalgia boner the entire time you give me references to past movies and other sequels it's connected to. That's me. I'm that guy. And I had
that
a lot of
problems.
That means
when Wedgie Antilles shows up in the final battle, Justin's fucking schlong just popped right out of
dude,
his pants.
I'm just...
For his 2 seconds of screen time.
Come on, it was still a second and a half.
I'm still just as in the middle on this movie as I was the moment I walked out of the theater. I really can't come to a solid conclusion other than the fact that I'm very mixed on the movie. I mean, it gave me amazing moments as a fan. It gave me everything I wanted in terms of the fan service, which, make no mistake, this movie should have been named Fan Service the Movie. However, it also...
Star Wars, The Rise of Fan Service.
It also...
I swear to
decides
fuck... Just to put it in here, just to get it out of the way now, I groaned out loud audibly when they purposely included a scene at the end of the movie where somebody walks up to Chewbacca and hands him a medal because everybody cries and complains that Chewie doesn't get a medal at the end of A New Hope. I was like, oh, like literally.
But Nick, aren't you happy that Chewbacca finally got his medal?
I don't give a fuck if Chewbacca got a fucking medal. This is it's fan services. That's the kind of fan service this movie does. It's not subtle. It's not just something in there in the background or some little slip in. It has to distractingly draw attention to it all the fucking time. I didn't mean to stop you there, Justin, but I had to get that.
It's okay.
In there.
You're talking about an end scene and you're not even talking about your favorite end scene. You know, the one that J.J. Abrams put there just for you all the way at the end with your favorite characters of the entire saga. Yeah, he knew that you wanted that there, Nick, and he put it there just for you. But no, I mean, like, I'm being as honest as I possibly can. There are moments in this movie that had me crying. There are moments in this movie that had me filled with laughter, goosebumps up my spine. And there were also equally that amount of moments in this movie that made me literally screaming, what the fuck, at the screen. This movie, obviously at the forefront, takes what happened in The Last Jedi. And if you're a viewer that liked that movie, it says, you know, I know you liked that movie.
But fuck you.
You're the minority. But yes, fuck you. We're going to change everything that happened in that movie. And everything that happened in that movie doesn't mean anything anymore.
That's why I posted over, and I'm not the only person that did it, but I posted over on Facebook, Ryan Johnson, let the past die, kill it if you have to, and then I just, J.J. Abrams, fuck you.
Yeah, and then on the other hand, what J.J.'s saying, hey, I know all you guys that hated The Last Jedi, I know you hated it, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to fix everything that you didn't like in that movie. And I'm going to give you every single thing that I can possibly think of, because I'm mandated by Disney to do this, to give you the best, quote unquote, Star Wars movie that I possibly can, and shove as much shit into one movie in this small runtime that I possibly can. And that's what this movie is. It's a mixed bag. I'm going to say that right at the forefront. I probably still, at the end of the day, enjoyed this movie. I know I enjoyed it a million times more than you, Nick. I have a feeling that I did. And Saucy, I don't know. You saw it twice. You're the only one of us that had an opportunity to see it twice. So I want Nick to kind of like, you burn inside a little bit. Put more wood into that fire. Let's see where that goes. I'm going to throw it to you, Saucy, instead. Come on. Initial thoughts on this thing.
I think the entire Star Wars sequel trilogy can be encapsulated symbolically with Kylo Ren's mask throughout the three films. So you have The Force Awakens, in which Kylo Ren's mask looks very sleek and sexy, but it's
It's a cheap fucking paintball mask, and it looks like garbage.
But it's a very obvious retro facsimile of something that came before. Then you have The Last Jedi, in which both the mask and the film refuses to live in the shadow of the original, what came before, and the mask is promptly ridiculed and smashed into a million pieces. Then you have The Rise of Skywalker, in which the mask is very conspicuously and haphazardly patched back together, and the cracks, gentlemen, they show. Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker is immensely frustrating for me as a lifelong Star Wars fan. I've been watching these films for my entire life, because there are flashes of brilliance. There are flashes of just genuine, searing emotion. I love this cast. I love the cool Star Wars-y stuff, the creatures, the action sequences, but the script makes virtually no sense. I'm just, after
Are
watching
it. Are you okay? Are you going to get through this?
I think I'm going to be okay. Watching it a second time helped me come to terms with some truly baffling story choices, but there's a little part of me that's still feeling empty, that's still mourning the film this could have been, the series, the sequel trilogy could have been. J.J. Abrams tried to please. Well, first of all, he tried to backtrack way too much. And second of all, I think he tried to be all things to all people, thereby pleasing
no one.
Well, well, it's pleasing some people, but and I'm still grappling with my emotions on the film. That's a perfect lead-in, Nick. You interjected there.
Well, the fire's burning enough. There's enough fuel in there.
You both talked about how emotional this film made you at different points and how I felt nothing watching this film. And I'm somebody that even when I watched the prequels, even when I watched the spinoffs, Rogue One and Solo, even when I watched The Force Awakens, even though I had big problems with The Force Awakens, I still felt things. I still felt those goosebumps, and I still felt those tingles of nostalgia whenever they got them. And I still felt like those great moments. And I cried when Han Solo got killed. And same thing in The Last Jedi. Like, I felt so much. I was stone-faced the entire fucking movie. I didn't laugh. I didn't cry. I didn't anything in this entire fucking movie. Fuck this fucking movie so fucking hard.
No!
Wrong!
Now shut the fuck up and let me do my
shut
job.
Up. Stop it, you wing, you baby! Shut up!
This is shut up. Easily one of the worst paced films I have seen in a theater in a long fucking time. The pacing is breakneck. It never gives you time to breathe. It rushes through literally everything. So even when you're supposed to get nice, quiet character moments, you don't get them. It
There's
does
no time.
Try in a couple of instances to give us a little bit more backstory and depth to some of our side characters that we haven't gotten. We get a little bit with Poe and whatever, but there are just, and I don't want to in my review, I don't want to compare this to the plot of The Force Awakens or The Last Jedi and say he should have done this or he shouldn't have done this. Like, there's a thing that he does in this movie where, okay, let's just get it on the table right now. Rey's a Palpatine. Her grandfather is Emperor Palpatine. Now, I see what JJ's doing here. He's trying to riff on Return of the Jedi. It's the Ben Kenobi, what I told you was true from a certain point of view kind of thing. Kylo told her parents were nobodies because, quote unquote, they were, but her grandfather was somebody. So it was true from, like, I get what he's trying to do there. I have a whole fucking thing we're going to talk about with fucking old Palpy. I love you, Ian McDiarmid. I love you so, so fucking much. But it was the absolute worst narrative choice to make for this fucking film. Like, things that JJ does in this film that infuriates me, and we can kick off any number of tangents with these. Brings back the Knights of Ren for no reason. Brings back the mask for no fucking reason. Gets rid of the First Order. The First Order just is nothing all of a sudden anymore, and now it's the Final Order. What the... Like, why are you introducing all of these different elements and bringing in so many different fucking things into this film? That's the problem. It's so over fucking bloated. This film needed to be like another hour long for all this shit to fit in here and for all of it to make fucking sense.
Well, I had said, Nick, I had said even adding 20 to 30 more minutes on this movie wouldn't even have done it in the end either.
No, you needed, it needed to be an hour.
But I know that, here's the thing, we know that JJ had a job to do, we know that it was the last movie, they're not going to do two movies, they're not going to split it in two, so they just tried to shove way too much into one
way
movie.
Way too much.
And it becomes abundantly clear when you watch this film that they had absolutely no roadmap for this series.
That falls at the feet of Kathleen fucking Kennedy and Lucasfilm, because they should have had all of this shit mapped out from point A to point C, beginning of Force Awakens to the end of Rise of Skywalker.
Nick,
the major
I have
plot
something to ask you.
Should have all been there.
I have something to ask you. when George Lucas set out to make the first Star Wars, what the story that he had in front of him, what did he have?
He had like six treatments.
He had enough for what? More than one movie, right?
Yeah, way more. He initially, I think Lucas initially wrote like 12 different treatments for films.
So why was it that in between these movies, I mean, I know they were writing and they were working on this, but why wasn't there a cohesive visual image in their heads of where they wanted to go with these movies?
Yeah.
Now, I know that Colin Trevorrow was in and was working on this movie because he was supposed to originally direct it. And he still got story credit on this. So he had something to do with some of the original concepts that
that's one of those Hollywood things where because he was working on it, I don't necessarily know if he had anything to do with the final product.
Well, I know they threw it out. I knew they threw it out because I watched literally every interview I could with JJ, with Chris Terrio.
I can't even imagine the shit show this would have been if Trevorrow would have written it.
They started from scratch. They came in and threw everything out. And you know why they did? Loisos, why did they throw everything out? Because everyone fucking hated The Last Jedi except for us. Because literally, we are the vocal minority of people that loved that movie. I loved The Force Awakens, and guess what? I loved The Last Jedi too. But that huge amount of fanboys that cried and whined and still to this day will not shut the fuck up about how much they hated that movie. They're the reason why they said, you know what? We got to please these people. We got to change all of this. And that's why this
movie...
We have
to make as much money as humanly possible. And that's the thing. I think fear was a major motivation behind this movie. You can definitely tell, even in a lot of choices that the movie makes in its own narrative.
Well, think about...
This movie lacks the courage of its convictions.
Think about Rose Tico was a more... She was a supporting character, but she was a major supporting character in The Last Jedi. She has like three fucking lines of dialogue in this movie. She's barely even in it.
They Jar Jarred her. They episode two Jar Jarred her.
Exactly.
They literally said... They did exactly what I said. They literally looked at the movie and said, what do people not like about Last Jedi? Let's get rid of all of it. Oh, they don't like Rose. They hate her. I sent Saucy a picture. I was at GameStop yesterday. You know what I saw on the clearance rack? I saw a Rose figure, a Rose Black Series action figure, the lowest possible price one of those figures could be, and it's from The Last Jedi, sitting there still with dust on it. That's how much Star Wars fans hate that character. That's why
you're speaking for Star Wars fans. I'm a Star Wars fan. I liked Rose.
The majority... Brian, I'm talking about the majority.
Are they a majority, though? Are they really a majority, though?
They are the majority. Yes, they are. 100%. Based on my interactions with them on social media and what we see, yes, they are the majority.
I think and that's the kind of thing that this film does in spades. It just wholesale, like, forgets about characters, forgets that character concepts and that, like, the Finn Rose relationship isn't even a thing. There's like one scene at the end of the movie where they like Finn looks at her when she's hugging Chewie. Like, that's pretty much the only interaction they have in the entire movie.
Yeah, and then they have this bizarre running thing throughout the film where Finn really wants to tell Rey something. He's like, they're about to die at one point, and he says, Rey, I never told you. And then it's brought up later when Rey asks Finn, what did you want to tell me? And he's like, well, I can't tell you with Poe here. And then later on, Poe asks Finn, like, what did you want to tell Rey? We're about to die, so you may as well just tell me. Never brought up again. I assumed it to mean, because we've seen in The Force Awakens, it was hinted at that Finn had a thing for Rey. You know, the scene where he's like, you know, you got a boyfriend, you got a cute boyfriend, like he's asking her if she has a boyfriend. So I assumed in The Rise of Skywalker that to mean that he was going to tell her that, I don't know, he had a thing for her, he loved her or whatever. JJ Abrams was interviewed today, or I think it was either today or yesterday at the Academy screening, that he was trying to tell Rey that he was Force sensitive. First of all, why would he tell her that when they're about to die? Second of all, it was never hinted at in either of the other two films that Finn was Force sensitive.
Except in this one. Well, in this one, yeah. He's like, I can feel it. And that's an afterthought at best.
So And I've been chatting back and forth with the In Session Film guys on Twitter about this. He thinks it was obvious. Like, that was an obvious setup. To me, it was not obvious, and it's never brought up in the film ever again. So it's like, why was that in the film? There's a bizarre scene with Lando and a new character named Janna at the end of the film where she asks him, where did you come from? And he's like, well, where did you come from?
Apparently, and she's like, I have no idea. It's like, let's find out. Like that.
Are they hinting at that she's like his daughter? What was that scene?
Well, there was a cut scene with Lando, but I'm gonna be clear on this here. I am the fan service guy on this show. I am the nostalgia nerd. I'm the one that strives on this shit. And I felt Lando being in this movie had little to no impact. It made no sense to me.
It didn't bring you joy to see him in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon.
Other than at the end, you get to see him with Chewie and he's like, ha ha ha, laughs into the Lando Billy Dee Williams. Yeah, sure, that was cool, but it meant nothing to the story.
Well,
I think a couple of his scenes were with him and other characters were supposed to be like Leia scenes.
Yes, they were. And he's good in the movie. Like, I'm not going to lie, I loved seeing Billy Dee Williams back as the character. Like, that was cool and all, but have him fucking do something. Like, I was under the impression that he was going to be along for the ride with these guys and actually do something, not show up in one scene for 3 minutes and then come in all the way at the end of the movie for, you know, again, as an afterthought, and like, yeah, I'm driving
the Millennium
Falcon.
It was a
weird
place narratively to bring him into the movie because they have to go to the one planet to try to find the Wayfinder, and he's just there.
I watched it again the second time. Leia sent him there.
Okay, Leia sent him there. Okay.
Because initially, yeah, when I saw it the first time, and that's the problem too. The first half hour, 45 minutes of this movie are just go, 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 go. No time to breathe. No time to establish story points or characters. It's just jumping from one planet to the next. We got to go find this person. We got to go find this thing on this planet.
Yep. And honestly, and Star Wars movies do that.
It's endless cat and mouse. Yeah. But yeah, but Star Wars movies do that. But not in the breakneck
pace. And then
they
slow down and they let you breathe and they let you catch up and they let you just spend time with the characters. Like, there was only one real moment in this film where I felt they did that. And that was when they got to the planet where Poe was from or was part of a gang or spice runners or whatever, and that was a longer scene there where we get a little bit of depth and a little bit of backstory with Poe. You get Carrie Russell, and I actually loved her character in the film. You don't get a ton of that character, but you don't need a ton of that character. She's great for what she's given. I liked all that, and I like that you're trying to give depth to Poe. That's what you should have been focusing on, is doing this stuff. But to go back to it, to get Ian McDiarmid out here in front of us, I fucking love him. I love the Emperor. I love Palpatine. That's why
he's a cool villain.
I am a huge defender of the prequels, because I just love McDiarmid so much. And I love that. I mean, for all of the silliness and stupid shit and everything in the prequels, it's a very defined narrative. It is Palpatine's rise to power, overthrowing the Republic and forming the Galactic Empire. It's all right there. It's perfect. This character met his end at the end of Return of the Jedi. And I know
we saw him explode.
I know, people, the EU, get your fucking EU nonsense out of here. I don't care about the EU. I never have. I never will. The EU doesn't fucking count anymore anyway. I know there were clones of Palpatine in fucking future EU novels. It doesn't matter. Why bring this character back? It's great. It's great to hear him, but all I wanted him to be was like a voice or something. Like, I wanted it. I did not want him to be the main threat of the film. And to add more on fucking top of that, again, you get rid of the First Order entirely. Like, the First Order just suddenly isn't a thing. You basically take Domhnall Gleeson's General Hux, who I kind of like what they did with him in the movie, but he gets jobbed off really early. And then there's this other dude that's just like, he was one of Palpy's lackeys even back in the Empire days. This dude gets more screen time than Phasma got in the first two movies combined. Who? Why? Why is all this fucking shit in the fucking movie? It's...
Yeah.
Fuck you.
So I think...
That was the emotion I felt in the theater. Anger. A lot of it. I went to the dark side in this movie, guys.
Anger leads to the dark side, Nick.
Why? Palpatine never should have been brought back, because then they have to spend all this fucking screen time. And I did love that they threw the Revenge of the Sith line back in there. It's a gateway to the many would deem
it's
to be unnatural
to
or whatever. I'm not remembering the exact line right
unnatural.
Now.
Unnatural. Right.
Like, okay, fine. But this character, you did not need to bring him back in the movie. You can still do everything that this movie needs to do without Palpatine.
I thought for sure. Yeah, I thought for sure in the trailer, it was like from the trailer, we heard his voice and everything, but I thought for sure it was just going to be his essence, like his evil force essence.
Or even if it was just
remained.
A voice in Kylo's head. Like,
or Rey's head.
Or Rey's head. Like, fine, but you don't need to make him a major fucking character in the fucking movie.
Right. I think, I think, yeah. I agree with that. Having him be a physical presence, like he's just alive. Like in the opening crawl,
he's
it says
he's on like life support or something.
He's on like
he's
a like crane.
On
they have him
yeah,
on a crane.
On a crane. Like he's been crane hanging place? On this fucking crane for 30 years, just hanging out. Like I'm just gonna wait for 30 years, and then I'm gonna come on out and show my face. But I'm not gonna lie. There was one thing in the dumpster that I said that I wanted. Everyone's like, "What do you want out of the movie, Boy Sauce?" What did I say that I wanted?
You wanted to see Kylo Ren murder a bunch of people.
And how does the movie open?
Opens with him murdering a bunch of people.
Yes, and I thought the opening was very awesome. I loved that. I loved how he goes down deep in there, and then he witnesses Palpatine randomly. The Emperor is just all of a sudden here. And I'm like, okay, you're showing this to me way too early, and it didn't feel
organic. Yeah, there's no build-up to it. He's just there.
Or anything like that, and I'm like, okay, you're doing this. Okay, I guess I have to just go along with this. I liked how it looked and felt, but I'm like, this doesn't really make sense here.
It's like It's like they were afraid to put this movie on Adam Driver's shoulders and actually just make Kylo Ren the big bad of the movie. And you can still have his redemption. You can still do his redemption. And I have positive parts about this movie, ladies and gentlemen. Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver are by far the best thing about this movie. And the Rey Kylo dynamic and character arc, that is by far the best part about this movie. But that is such a small part of this movie because there's so much other shit crammed into it that it's like it takes away from that. Like it lacks. It's just missing something. They were afraid to just be like, we've had Kylo. He ascended. He's the supreme leader now after The Last Jedi.
He's been humiliated twice.
Exactly. Just make him the main villain of the piece, and you can still do his redemption the same fucking way. You don't need Palpatine. And that's the problem with this film that I have big time, is that it brings it. It's like almost as if they were like, well, we got to bring in a heavy hitter. We got to bring in a big villain so Star Wars fans can go, whoa, yay, it's Palpatine. Woo. I love Palpatine, but he had fucking, okay, he wasn't in A New Hope, and if you go special edition logic, he was sort of in Empire Strikes Back, but whatever. We've seen Palpatine. We saw his rise to power. We saw him get defeated in Return of the Jedi. We do not need this character back. I'm sorry. I'm really angry about it.
And with his return brings a bunch of questions, because like I said, he's just there. So we see him in the opening scene. Kylo asks him how he's still alive, and he says that line from Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, he was behind Snoke, by the way. That was Snoke.
You see a bunch of tanks of Snoke clones, failed Snoke clones, or I don't even know. They just show
it
for a second.
Which, again, is one of the stupidest.
I burst out laughing in the theater because I'm like, oh, okay, they clearly don't care about
it's one of those things. It's one of those things where, again, to go back to Last Jedi, people were butthurt and they were upset because, oh my God, nobody told us who Snoke was. We didn't know who Snoke was. So there is the quickest possible throwaway line to it.
The point is, it doesn't matter who Snoke was, because his function in the story was to
exactly
accentuate Kylo Ren's character. But anyway, yes. So there's that. And then all of a sudden, a whole armada of Star Destroyers just come out of the ground. Who's piloting them? Where did they come from? Why did Palpatine wait so long to appear? If he's been alive
for
30 years.
Don't even get me started on the Final Order and that final battle sequence, because that is 100% the worst part of this fucking movie. It's more visually noisy than the fucking Endgame final battle. And
well, and also, yeah, they chose to do that strobe lightning effect that made me so nauseated during It Chapter 2.
There's so much fucking, like, it's, I mean, literally, it like, different shots, it's just like you're just looking at a whole bunch of triangles on the screen. Like, it doesn't even mean anything. It's just like, and like I said, you built up the First Order in the first two fucking movies, and then all of a sudden, the First Order, it's almost as if they just sort of just stop existing at some point.
I think the First Order, like, kind of becomes the Final Order at some point.
But yeah, and but that's the problem, is there's just a blurred line there, and there's no
reason for the First Order to become the Final Order
to even exist or anything like that. And then, like I said, you have to bring in this whole other.
Why couldn't a Palpatine just be, if you're gonna have him do that, and he's the supreme leader behind the scenes anyway, behind Snoke and the whole deal, why can't he just be, well, I've been controlling the First Order the whole time and you didn't know it, General Hux? Because they kill General Hux out of nowhere. He's the mole in the rebellion, in the resistance.
Which I liked.
I did like it. I don't like the way that he got it, Nick, but I do like that he was. And I like
his reasoning.
Ooh, gotcha moment.
It's not that he wanted to be part of the resistance. It's not that he agreed with them, but he hated Kylo Ren so much that he wanted to sell him out.
He wanted to be
the supreme leader. Exactly. Yeah, you can see that. That's set up in the other two movies.
That I love.
But also, the Emperor Palpatine's plan makes no sense, because to start out, he tells Kylo Ren to go kill Rey. And then when Rey finally confronts the Emperor at the end, he says that he wants her to kill him so that she can become the Empress. Like, he can possess her. His spirit will possess her, and she will become the Empress. And then, spoilers, we're already in spoilers, she eventually does kill him, and then that doesn't happen. So I'm just wondering what his plan was. You need to have a villain whose motivation is clear, and you need to have a clear threat.
But you don't need to have motivation, because it's just Palpatine, and he's a bad guy, and we know he's a bad guy. So you throw an established bad guy Star Wars villain in the film as the big bad to placate everybody who wants to see Palpatine and who was mad about Snoke and the First Order and all that bullshit. That's the only fucking reason it was done. That's the only fucking reason that character was put into this fucking movie, and it's terrible. Terrible.
I think the movie is...
Hold it. We're going to take a quick break, and when we're going to come back, we got a lot more to unpack about Rise of Skywalker, so stay right there. What's up, everybody? This is Nick, and I just want to let you know, if you're not already a member over on the EFG Patreon, you got to sign up. For just $1 a month, you get access to pre-roll, whenever we record it, that is, and loot tiers. Up at the higher tiers, you get stickers, custom swag, Loy socks, ladies and gentlemen. Do you want a sock with Loy Sauce's face on it? You're going to get one at the $5 level or above. Loot boxes twice a year, and every month, 10% of our Patreon donations go to charity. That and so much extra content, including the EFG Nick and I series with Paul from The Countdown, and all sorts of other random nonsense recordings that just happen to find their way up there. Check out this clip, and we would really, really appreciate it. The show will always be free, this show that you're listening to, but helping us out on Patreon is just another way that you can get extra content and help keep the EFG dream alive and help keep everything rolling. And plus, I mean, we got to pay for the dumpster that the Hopester lives in. I mean, that thing's not cheap. All right, so whatever you can do to help us ease that burden, we would really, really appreciate it. But we love you. We love each and every one of you out there, whether you support us on Patreon or not, but we would really, really appreciate the extra help. But I'm going to shut up now, so please enjoy this exclusive clip from one of our Patreon specials, and we'll see you at the movies.
I'm genuinely shocked this is your favorite film of all time, and I'm how it spoke to you so much that it occupies that particular place, or what it did for you, Nick. And I'm much more interested in that than I am in my very middling experience of it. So can you tell us, what is it about this film that catapults it to such an echelon?
Okay, so it's essentially the last 10 minutes of this movie, and it's his final letter as he's driving home from Denver after the wedding and everything like that, and he's failed to stop the wedding and everything, and he stops at this arch thing in Nebraska that talks about pioneers and everything, and he has this moment when he basically just says, you know, we're all pretty small in the scheme of things, but you know, I guess the most we can hope for is to make some kind of difference. And then he questions himself. He's like, what kind of difference have I made?
Yep.
What in the world is better because of me? And it harkens all the way back to the beginning of the film when he retires. And he has that moment in the film, and he goes home and he says, you know, I'm going to die relatively soon. And once I'm gone and everybody that knows me is gone, it'll be like I never existed.
Yes.
You know, so what difference has my life made to anybody? And like I said, fundamentally... like, and the reason why it just speaks to me, because this is me, like this is who I am as a person, like, and the older I've gotten, the worse it gets. Like, if you've ever wondered why I, like, put as much effort as I do into trying to, like, reach out and do charity things like Livestream for the Cure, or why I try to be, like, somebody that, like, goes out of my way to help people do whatever I can help them do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not because of this movie, but it's just because this movie is, like, literally that, it's me. It
summarizes
is me.
That conclusion that you've drawn, yeah.
This movie's me. It literally 100% is me. Like, I'm a cynical guy. I can be an asshole. Like, whatever. But at the end of the day, all I want to do is just, like, make some kind of a difference and just know that my life mattered, if that makes sense.
Yes. I think that's beautiful, man. I do. And, you know, it's obviously, you know, both of our shows are fairly comedic and we don't take a lot of shit too seriously. But I think that's a really touching sentiment that you shared there. And I'm not going to shit all over it in any way, shape or form, except to say I think that's really lovely.
Welcome back. Thanks for hanging out with us here and listening to us talk Star Wars here on the Epic Film Guys
How
podcast. We know you've seen it. You're talking about it. And we love that you're hanging out with us while we're talking about it, too.
Thank you.
You know, we've kind of almost shit all over this movie in a lot of ways here, but I did want to say...
Ain't no almost about it.
Well, I'm conflicted on the movie because, as I said earlier on, the movie gives me a lot of what I really want out of a Star Wars movie. Now, Saucy, you and I had talked about this as soon as we saw the movie, and actually a few friends of mine sent me the same thing after they saw it. What makes a Star Wars movie? There are galactic wizards, space wizards with space swords that sword fight. There are spaceships that fly around and blow each other up and go vroom, vroom, and lightsabers that go vroom, vroom, and an evil villain that gets beat by the end of it. And did this movie have all of those things?
Yeah, sure it did.
Yeah. So, in your opinion, would you consider this a Star Wars movie then? It had all those things, right?
I would consider it a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
You know what else it had? Death Star guns, because J.J. Abrams cannot fucking stop the Death Star. George Lucas couldn't stop with it, and now J.J. can't fucking stop with it. Now we've got
Death Star guns
on every fucking Star Destroyer. Why?
Wasn't it so refreshing in The Last Jedi when there wasn't a Death Star?
Holy fuck. And it's made insult to injury because they visit the location where the ruins of the Return of the Jedi Death Star are. Like... Which I loved that set, by the way.
Which gave me great visuals. That's where I was leading to. Yeah,
one of the best sequences in the film there.
One of the best sequences of the movie, and the moment that had me as a fan the most excited. That lightsaber battle
that was
in the
great.
Water on top of the old Death Star was amazing. Yeah. It was beautifully shot, energetic, edge of my seat. I fucking loved that scene so, so much. And that right there. That's enough for me as a fan. And I get it that it's not the same for you, Nick. Sauce, you saw it twice. So, you know, I don't know how you feel about it. But for me, that scene alone gave me something that I'm like, I get to look forward to that when I watch that movie again. Sure, there's plenty of action that happens prior to that. But that's that one moment that I had waited the whole movie to see because I knew it was coming and it did not disappoint. I thought it was brilliantly done and I loved it.
I won't disagree with that. I loved the lightsaber battle. Like I said, I loved the set. I think it was really great. And again, by far, bar none, the best part of this film is still the dynamic between the Rey and Kylo characters and the performances of Adam Driver and Daisy Ridley.
I'll go ahead and say the best part of this trilogy is that dynamic between
exactly
the two characters.
Exactly correct. Exactly. Like, they, number one, both give excellent performances in this film. And, I mean, I loved that they did that thing in The Last Jedi where those two were connected by the Force, so they still had to have those scenes together even though they weren't in the same physical locations. They continue that into this film.
And that's something that's...
I love that.
A wonderful element in this movie, I think.
Because
any
those
time they
two,
did that
the
was...
chemistry that they have together on screen... is amazing, and there's romantic tension between them. There's just tension in terms of being one side, good and evil. It's amazing, and they both play it insanely, insanely well. And every time the movie goes away from those characters, it's a detriment to the film, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's the one element from The Last Jedi that they did actually expand upon and realize on screen.
I think they did a very good job of it, too.
The Force connection between them. Even to where now they can transfer objects to each other, which leads to some of my favorite moments in the film. But we can get to that.
Well, you're there, so get
yeah,
to
get
it.
Yeah, get to it, man. What do you
Well, I was just The floor is open. The floor is open, man. We're jumping all over the place with this thing.
I guess that's true.
As we always are with Star Wars, it's kind of schizophrenic because we're excited, we're angry, we're upset, we're pumped up. We
just, and there's just a lot come to talk mind. About.
There really is. So is. Much
and there's nothing organized about this movie, so our thoughts on the movie
we're
are even less organized.
Like 20 things. Like, we're going to get done with this review, and we're going to stop recording, we're going to say goodnight, and we're going to be like, oh, fuck, we forgot to mention this,
dude,
this,
we
this,
forgot
this. It's going to happen, right. But we're just going to get as much in as we can, so please.
So towards the end, when Kylo Ren is redeemed, and at this point he is Ben Solo, he returns to the Sith planet to confront Palpatine, and the Knights of Ren appear. Ben is weaponless. You know, he's fighting them off melee style. And then in a brilliant moment that I absolutely adored, Rey uses her Force connection to pass her lightsaber to Ben. And
Brian,
he just goes ham.
Dude, you just telling that and me hearing you say that, I just got goosebumps all over my neck remembering how awesome that scene was.
It was a great moment. It's sad. It's sad that that moment had to be him fighting the Knights of Ren, who once again are brought back for no discernible fucking reason.
Only because they were introduced in The Force Awakens for a second.
And Rian Johnson didn't care to do anything
with them.
Yeah, so you know what? So you know what? You'd be like, okay, let's not bring this element back and then have to waste screen time being like, let's get the Knights of Ren back together.
Nick,
and
you know what though? Action figures, toys.
Well, that's exactly fucking why, because it's a Star Wars
100%,
movie, and God knows.
And everyone, I'm not even going to lie. When I went to go looking for figures yesterday, I said, oh, I can't wait to get all of those Knights of Ren figures. And Daniel's like, what, those guys that were in the movie for 5 minutes? I'm like, yeah, those guys. They looked cool. There were some cool shots of them like standing in the desert and stuff, like them standing there with their weapons, but they didn't do anything. No, they didn't do anything. And it's not anyone's fault that Rian Johnson said, you know what, I don't want to do anything with that. You know, there are mistakes throughout all of these movies. There are decisions that don't make sense throughout all of these movies.
Like Leia and Luke kissing in Empire, and then it's revealed that they're brother and sister in Return of the Jedi.
As an afterthought. Yes, there's a lot of afterthoughts throughout this entire series. This movie is the most frustrating for me, at least, I feel like, out of the three new ones, Solo and Rogue One aside, because it has a lot of awesome nostalgic moments for me as a fan, and it hits the marks in all of those ways. But yet, as a fan of The Last Jedi, unlike a lot of other people that are literally drowning themselves in that nostalgia, I was disappointed to see really none of that pick up here. It literally takes the theme that Rian Johnson set out with. I mean, the film ends with the idea that anyone can be special. Rey's parents probably aren't anybody. Like, I already know that Palpatine was made to be her grandfather as an afterthought to try to, you know, we know the fans want her to be connected to somebody more important. You have to be important to be a Jedi. So in that movie where anyone can be a Jedi, okay, anyone can be special. No, now in this movie, nope, Rian Johnson was wrong. If you're just some nobody stable boy, you can't be special. You have to be the granddaughter of the almighty Palpatine in order to be this character. So that whole theme of that is gone and thrown out entirely in this movie.
Shut up! Shut up! No!
I'm playing it again.
No!
I'm playing it again because this is the one time when I'm going to go back to what happened in The Last Jedi, because I adored that theme in The Last Jedi. Anybody can be a Jedi. Anybody can save the galaxy. Anybody, literally anybody. Why does this have to be closed-ended? Why does it have to all tie back around to the same, like, three fucking families? I would have been as surprised in the film to find out that Rey was a Yoda or something. Like,
a Kenobi.
Fucking seriously.
A Binks.
Why? Why? And as soon as...
It's because...
There's a scene in the fucking desert, like, on the planet, and the big shot in the first trailer was her jumping over the TIE fighter in the desert. Like, that literal scene, like, right after that, she uses Force lightning, and as soon as that fucking happened, I'm like, she's Palpatine. As soon as that fucking happens, like, that telegraphs it, because we know Sith lightning is a thing that other Sith can do. It's not just exclusive to Palpatine, but it's so iconic and so tied to his character. I was like, yep, she's a fucking Palpatine. She's related to Palpatine somehow, and, like... I get what he's doing with the whole from a certain point of view kind of thing. I get he's trying to reach back to that, but Why? What? Like, that's the...
It's because Abrams is obsessed with legacy and inheritance. And to me, the ending of The Last Jedi with the little slave boy holding the broom as a lightsaber and looking up to the stars and being inspired by the tales of Luke Skywalker and wanting to, you know, get off your shithole planet and fly into the stars and have adventures and fight the First Order and join the Resistance. And that little boy is all of us imagining themselves, how cool it would be to brandish a lightsaber and use the Force. That's all ruined by this film.
So fucking frustrating. Like, I mean, legit, like that, it, take you can hate everything else that The Last Jedi did, literally everything else, but that theme that anyone can save the galaxy, anyone can be a Jedi Knight, that is so fucking powerful, and it's such a great theme that they really had the opportunity to carry forward in this fucking film, and didn't do it. Didn't fucking do it.
Yeah, the movie reeks of fear and studio interference, and let's try to appease everyone.
It's like you said it earlier. He tried to please everyone, and in so doing, pleased no one. Or at least, like I think this
illustrates my point. Let's talk about the redemption of Ben Solo and what happens when he saves Rey in the end. The kiss. This moment to me is so baffling because there really hasn't, I mean, there's been some sexual tension between the characters.
Naturally.
But there's been no hint of Rey wanting to kiss Kylo Ren. It seems disingenuous. It comes out of nowhere. And there are three things they wanted to accomplish with Kylo Ren. You can't have it all three ways. They wanted to redeem Kylo Ren and complete his, turn to the light side to become Ben Solo. They wanted to appease Reylo shippers. They wanted to appease the people who wanted to see Kylo Ren and Rey together. And they wanted him to die because he's a murderer and a war criminal, and he can't totally be redeemed. He can't join the Resistance at that point when he's murdered his father and killed countless people. So they wanted to accomplish those three things in one. And I think they needed to stick to one avenue, or at least two avenues, and go with it. But they tried to do all three, and I don't think that works. It doesn't work on a story level. And ultimately, it doesn't appeal to anyone, really, because if you want to appease the Reylo shippers, having him immediately die is going to piss them off.
That was me. I didn't want him to die. I was like, no.
See, I'm going to jump in on that, Loisas, because I'm actually going to completely disagree. That was probably one of my favorite moments of the film. Because for me, that's always been a huge thing, especially in The Last Jedi, but it's definitely there in The Force Awakens as well, is this romantic tension between these two characters. And especially in The Last Jedi, they have the whole fight scene after he kills Snoke and they defeat all of the guards. And like,
that's romantic, though?
There is romantic tension between them, though, and like the different scenes and stuff they share all throughout the scenes. At least for me as a viewer, I felt it.
And I'll say that I disagree with that.
I love that you get those moments. And I mean, you have to redeem the character, and I love that his final act as a character is to sacrifice himself to save Rey. I love that. That for me was one of my favorite moments of the film. I mean, again, they're few and far fucking between in this movie.
Can I be honest here?
Get in there.
Did you guys go into this movie completely unspoiled?
Yeah, I had no idea what was going to happen. Only what the trailers showed me.
Because I did not know specifics, but I had read online. Yeah,
I
had seen nothing.
Well, I blame you for reading that because you read way too much, Loisas. But
it shows up on my Twitter. It's just people's reactions.
But somebody legitimately took pictures from the premiere, like five or six pictures, and posted in a group, Kylo Ren kills himself for Rey. And I saw the fucking pictures
Why do people have to spoil?
Literally, person
actually posted it with that header. So when I saw that header, I was like, oh shit. And the picture was at the top of him dead. And I was like, okay, there's that. So yeah, I went into the I literally avoided everything I possibly could, like I do with every other Star Wars movie, but I still went into this knowing already that he was going to die. So, I mean, that kind of sucks. But I want to ask you guys a couple of questions about some other stuff we haven't really covered. Obviously, we talked about Kylo Ren's death. What did you think about the scene where Han Solo shows up again and he kind of like faces his father again, where he's kind of like, that's the beginning. I wouldn't say it's the beginning, but like that's like the last thing that happens to him before he starts to really change over to the light side again. Because I liked that scene a lot. I thought it was beautiful.
I liked it. I didn't have a problem with it.
It is a beautiful scene. I'm confused as to what happens exactly, because during the lightsaber duel between Kylo and Rey, Maz Kanata says General Leia has to do something that's going to take all of her power to help her son. And Leia does something through the Force and dies. Like that's her send off. And I thought for sure that it was her using her Force powers to make Han appear to Kylo. But then they contradict that in the dialogue by having Kylo say, "You're a memory." And then Han says, "Your memory."
See, I don't remember the scene film.
Yeah, so is she bringing out that memory from him? She's probably digging deep inside him, trying to pull that good out of him.
I will say this. Han Solo is not a Force projection. He's not a Force ghost appearing like Luke Skywalker does, or like other Jedi do in the other films. No. He's not a Force ghost at all. I believe
he's a memory.
And I believe that, it would have had to be something like Leia was going into his mind to really like pull out the feelings about his father, like his true feelings, because it's a running theme throughout the entire Last Jedi and in this film of him having to deal with, because Rey constantly bombards him with this about this guilt about killing his father.
I took it as him just dealing with it out loud within himself. We're just seeing it as a visual thing.
I agree. That's what I thought
dealing
it was
with
too.
It. Yeah, in his own mind, with his own.
I was perfectly
his own
fine
heart.
With it. I liked it. I liked that scene a lot.
Also, and it mirrors the Force Awakens scene.
It does. Also, kudos to Harrison Ford, who showed up in top form once again, brilliantly as Han Solo. I mean, dude, rewatching The Force Awakens again recently, I'm not going to get off on a tangent or anything, but dude, when the guy wants to do it, he can do it, and he's great. And he came back again as this character, and he did a great job. And I mean, the next thing that I wanted to ask was how you guys felt about Leia's death, if you felt like it was worthy of the character. I personally thought it was very emotional and very well done what it was.
So here's the thing. We all know, because
we have to talk about Leia being in the movie, because
we all know that Carrie Fisher died
before
this movie started production. She died right after The Last Jedi came out. So they had to use a whole bunch of old footage to cobble her into whatever scenes that they could. I mean, she still has a presence in the film. I like that she still has a presence in the film. They had to push her death in there somewhere because they can't have her carry all the way through the end of the film. They just didn't have enough footage to do that. And people would have rioted if they would have done a CGI old Leia. We do get a CGI young Leia.
Young
we'll talk
Leia,
about that as well. But I mean, I liked it fine. And the one thing that I really, really do appreciate is that she's kind of taken on the role of mentor, the role of quote unquote master, and is trying to train Rey, because literally there's nobody else now. Like Luke's gone, like all the other Jedi are gone, but she is force sensitive. She does have force training. I liked that. And I mean, it's like just seeing Carrie Fisher, obviously this is footage that they shot way back for Force Awakens that they had to, you know, cut together, smash together. It was all mostly probably shot in front of green screens and stuff like that anyway. So it was probably just swapping out a background plate. So it was probably easy enough-ish for them to do that. There was still a little bit of, because it was a CGI body at times, I'm pretty sure, moving around.
Yeah, it was. There were some moments of that, and there were some shots of a double in there as well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I applaud J.J. Abrams.
You couldn't not have her in the movie. I mean, that goes back to, a failing on Rian Johnson's part. Like, you could have killed her in The Last Jedi. Like,
that was not a failing on his part.
Well, it wasn't, but they could have, like, after she died, because, she died before it came out. Why am I thinking?
Yeah, she died before it came out.
Yeah, but they could have gone back and they could have, but he didn't want to do any reshoots or any rewrites or anything like that, because she is a major character in The Last Jedi, so it would have completely changed a lot of that movie to do that.
I just wanted to bring that up because I felt like her death was done very well in the movie.
I think it was done well under the circumstances. What else could you have done? Yeah.
Also, I want to, well, I mean, connecting to that, I wanted to applaud J.J. Abrams because the first thing they did when they decided to sit down and rewrite and, like, you know, start from scratch on this movie was they went to go look at what footage they had of Carrie Fisher left. And they started with that to see how well they could work Leia into the story. So, I mean, as a fan, I have to appreciate that probably more than anything else in the movie, that that was the first thing they thought of. Okay, how much do we have? Yeah. And how are we going to integrate Leia? Because that's her
legacy. And I thought
legacy,
it was done well. I thought they integrated it really well.
I thought it was. Now, the young Leia CGI, the young Luke CGI looked fine. Again, how is it they can't get, like, young Leia CGI right?
I thought she looked pretty good.
She looked okay. But, dude, seriously, with the budget for this thing being Star Wars, like, literally the shot of young Luke looked great. Like, it legitimately looked great to me. And then they, you know, her just face didn't move right to me or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was just one of those things. But, I mean, we can talk about that because that scene is only in the film so they can have a moment where they go and they get Leia's lightsaber just to make it a plot point in the film. Like, just like, again, this goes back to what we talked about in the first half of this review, planning. Getting this shit outlined ahead of time. All of this shit should have already been stuff that was established. Like, Rey should have found that lightsaber in The Last Jedi. That should have already been a fucking thing that was established so that we know they're going back to it. Like, it's an easy plot point to reconnect to. All of a sudden, you're just throwing this scene in the film, and then you throw this flashback in the film where we see them lightsaber training really quick, and Luke gives some quick expository dialogue where they go and get it. It's all, that's the problem with this movie, and that's the problem with the sequel trilogy as a whole, was that there was just no centralized theme, no centralized arc, no centralized planning, no anything. Some aspects of it worked out really well. Rey Kylo, like I said, is brilliant. I love the way that their arc wraps up in this film, but most of the rest of this film is a colossal fucking shit show.
What about Finn? What about Poe?
Poe was great. I loved Poe, and like I said, they tried to give Poe a little bit more depth, a little bit more backstory. I liked Poe. Finn also get
no, like, arc.
John Boyega is an amazing actor, and he definitely does his best, and he's charismatic, and he chews the scenery, and he's great, but they don't give him anything to fucking do. Nothing. He's just along for the ride. He's basically just there, you know?
Yeah. It's one of the more disappointing things about this movie, because these are the characters that we were introduced to in The Force Awakens, which we were led to believe we were going to care about, which by the end of this third film, they should have been all special in their own way, with their own arcs and
nothing
for history.
We talked about it when we talked about The Force Awakens, but even before it came out, like, the worst thing that I didn't want to happen in these sequel films was for them to crutch super fucking hard on old characters and nostalgia. And that's ultimately what they ended up doing. Like, this third film, by the time we get to this third film, like, the older characters and everything else should fucking barely be a part of it. Like, fine, have Chewie, have the Falcon, have the droids, whatever, but the majority of the thing should be about these new fucking characters. And Finn, nothing. Rose is barely in the film. Dominic Monaghan is in the fucking film because
for some reason.
And it's super distracting to me because, of course, he's Merry in Lord of the Rings. And, of course, he's Charlie on Lost. And, I mean, that's, I'm assuming, his J.J. Abrams connection that gets him into this fucking film. But the second he appears on screen, I'm like, what the fuck is Charlie Pace doing in this movie? Like,
he keeps wandering into frame and delivering lines that could have gone to Rose. And
it doesn't make any sense. It's the same thing with him. It's the same thing with the general for the Final Order. It's the same thing with all of these new elements, all these new characters. Why is all this
Brian,
new
you had
shit
something,
being thrown in here?
You had something to say about Rose, though. I know you were very passionate about this point.
Yeah, like, she was completely screwed over by this film.
Yeah. Dumped on. She had a couple lines of dialogue, and she was a background character in a couple shots. That's it.
And considering how much of a central player she was in The Last Jedi, I mean, like, Justin brought up the action figure. I don't think merchandise sales should even factor into creative decisions regarding your film. And this poor actress, Kelly Marie Tran, she's so good as the character. Is she my favorite Star Wars character ever? No. But is she nearly as bad as Jar Jar Binks? Does she deserve this treatment? Absolutely not. Find her things to do in the story. They literally ask her early on, Rose, are you coming with us? Are you sure you don't want to come with us? And she's like, no, I need to stay behind and do something. It's infuriating.
Actually,
because
throw a line of dialogue at purposely leaving her behind and leaving her out of the A plot of the film.
I mean, there's a lot of lines of dialogue in this movie that are specifically placed within it to kind of almost shit on what we saw in the movie before it. Loisos, there's the line about the lightsaber that Luke says to Rey. What is it? It's something along the lines of...
He says, a Jedi's weapon deserves more respect.
Exactly.
When Rey goes to throw the lightsaber and Force Ghost Luke catches it, he says, a Jedi's weapon deserves more respect, which is a direct reference to him tossing it over his shoulder in The Last Jedi. I didn't hate it. Well,
because
I think
in terms of Luke's character arc, if you think about Luke's character arc in The Last Jedi, Luke already goes through that character arc in The Last Jedi where he realizes he still has a part to play. And that's why he still force projects himself to the planet and walks out and faces on the First Order and faces Kylo Ren. Like,
which is awesome and badass.
Which is so amazing. And he wants to give that spark of hope to the Resistance. Like, Luke's already had that thing. And Luke... The seeds for that are already there, so I like that was a deliberate callback to that, like a tongue-in-cheek, like, wink.
Oh, no, I don't hate the line. I don't hate the line, but it is a direct call-out to The Last Jedi.
Fair.
Yeah, no, it is, and there's plenty of those in there. And again, the use of Rose within the movie is another glaring example of that.
It's disgraceful.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, they're going out of their way, and this is the thing. I listened to almost every interview with JJ prior to the film's release, and basically he just kept saying, nope, we're not going to undo any of this stuff. And I even said to you, like a
liar,
month before the movie came out, I said to you, I said, I think they're going to retcon almost that whole movie. And you were doubtful of what I said. You're like, we'll just have to wait and see, but I doubt they'll ever do that. And
I
guess
had
what?
Faith in JJ.
Who was right? Who was right?
You were right. You
That's
were
right.
right.
Damn it,
That's
I was.
That's the problem, and this is a big thing.
I feel bad that I was.
This is what we get in the MCU as well. This is film by committee. And that's the biggest problem. It's like, what boxes do we have to check to make this movie? And that's the problem that you're going to have with Star Wars movies that come out. One director, they gave Rian Johnson a shot, they gave him the script, they let him direct it. He took a chance, he tried to go outside of the box, he tried to do some different things, and everybody fucking hated it. By and large, not us.
Except
we of course
us.
Loved the
yeah.
film,
yeah.
But there were a lot of people that fucking railed and railed against it. So that checklist, they put big bright boxes over those checks now, because now you doubly have to have them in the fucking film, because now you doubly can't go against the Star Wars fan base, because Star Wars fandom is the worst, most toxic fucking fandom out there, period. And you see what happens if you try to even change anything, if you try to do anything even a little bit different. I know The Last Jedi is not a perfect film. I rewatched it before I got to watch The Rise of Skywalker. That middle section and the whole Canto Bight and the whole Codebreaker thing is fucking terrible. It goes on for an eternity. I get it. It's not a perfect movie, but it still does a lot of amazing, amazing, amazing things. But somebody took a chance with Star Wars, and it didn't pay off. You saw Lord and Miller with Solo. It wasn't a Star Wars movie, so they shit canned him, got Ron Howard in there, and did it. Same thing with Rogue One. Gareth Edwards. They got rid of him and basically reshot like 2/3 of the fucking film and put it back together. Like, these are studio fucking productions. These have to check the specific fucking boxes. But the problem is, what you need in these fucking films going forward, Lucasfilm, and whatever, there's no new Star Wars films on the horizon. There's nothing planned. So whatever's going to come is probably going to be 5+ years down the road at least. Give it some
but
fucking
keep watching
room.
The Mandalorian.
Calm
keep
down.
Keep watching it, because it's really good.
Voice House is going to rub his Baby Yoda sweater. Don't do that. It's just, it's... You need to have a concrete creative vision. And that's the one thing that Star Wars has always had throughout its entire existence, because love him or hate him, George Lucas has always been the driving creative vision behind Star Wars. He's got it all in there. And hate the prequels all you want. They're piece of shit, soap opera trash, whatever you want to call them. They have a very definitive narrative through line. Very, very definitive. It's clear.
A thematic through line. The screenplays are very sloppy.
Well,
but
you know what I mean. But
yeah,
that's the problem with this sequel trilogy, is it didn't have that. They wanted to just give, and originally, like I said, the plan was Trevorrow. The plan was to just give it to Trevorrow and let him do his thing. You know, it was all going to be just carry on from this movie, and you carry on from
but
this
Nick,
movie.
But Nick, a question for you. Are you happier with the movie we got now rather than seeing them allow Trevorrow take a chance with
whatever
him
fucking Trevorrow
movie
would have done would have been worse than this, and this was already
okay.
Pretty fucking bad.
All right,
because
so,
Trevorrow, say whatever the fuck you want about JJ Abrams, I do like JJ Abrams, I think he can create entertaining films, but Colin Trevorrow is one of the worst fucking writers in Hollywood. We've seen that. We've seen Jurassic World, we've seen Jurassic World the Fallen Kingdom. Holy mother fuck. I don't even want to imagine the bastardization this fucking thing would have been if Trevorrow
were written. It's been a long time since you've said fuck as many times as you have in this review. But I'm gonna end this now because we've kind of come to the end here. And I'm actually going to quote a discussion that Loisos was having on my Facebook page with our good friend Brandon Frederick. His response to something that Brian said was, the franchise didn't need to go in a new directions at this point. It needed to finish a story started 30 plus years ago. And honestly, and I'm not hating on him because I love him. And his viewpoint as a Star Wars fan is that. And it is the majority Star Wars opinion throughout the fan base. And that's why.
I don't think it is, but okay, continue.
I know that it is. I'm 100% positive that it is. The majority. I'm not saying a small minority. I'm saying the majority as
I think it's a vocal minority.
No, it's not a vocal minority at all. Okay, I'm telling you based on what I'm seeing, and what I'm seeing is that almost every single hardcore Star Wars fan that I've been friends with or that I've known for many, many years loved this movie in more ways than one. So within audiences, yeah, go look and see what the reaction is. Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes critics score awful, right? Rotten. The most rotten Star Wars movie I believe that there is. And on IMDb, 7.0 out of 10 out of 117,000. Compare that to whatever else you want to at this point. But I think you're wrong, Saucy. I think the fans in general, the majority, are happier with this than they were with The Last Jedi. And I think this movie was made for them, and I think they know that. It is what it is. So we should go around the horn and give our final thoughts and ratings. And I'll start with you.
I think I mentioned it earlier, but I think this movie lacks the courage of its convictions, even in its own narrative. Even choices that would seem bold and exciting. Oh no, Chewie's dead. Oh nope. In the next scene, he's alive. Oh no, C-3PO got his memory erased. Oh nope. And you know, a few scenes later, he has his memory back. Oh no, Rey's dead. Oh no, you know.
Which and Kylo heals before her, you even her. Get to your final thoughts, Saucy, can I point out how fucking stupid it is that the fucking nozzle beak droid thing, whatever the fuck that thing was,
Dio.
Can we point out how fucking stupid it is that nobody thinks, hey, this thing has been on this Sith ship this whole fucking time. Let's see if this thing has anything in its memory banks. And then, like, when the whole Sith Wayfinder thing, they lose it or whatever the hell the case is. And then, oh, the droid has it. Like, mother, sweet, merciful fucking Jesus. Again, another thing added to this film to sell fucking toys. And that's the problem. This goes back to, like, my critique of Guardians of the Galaxy fucking 2. Like, that's all Baby Groot is in that fucking movie. It's just a prop to sell fucking toys because Disney's so fucking transparent. If you make good fucking products, then people will rally around it and they'll want to buy the fucking merchandise from it anyway. They're starting with merchandise first and they're worrying about film and story and everything second. End of rant. Go, Loisos.
How awesome would it have been if at the end, when Rey hears all of the voices of the Jedi telling her to rise and all that stuff, wouldn't it be awesome if those were all actual physical cameos? Like if you saw like
I was Liam hoping Mason for that
or oh, Hayden Christensen, people would have gone insane.
I was honest to God hoping for it, and when it didn't happen, I was kind of like, oh, okay.
I knew all their voices were there. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, are we gonna see him? I'm like, no.
But why didn't they get Sebastian Shaw to do it? Because he was the original Anakin Skywalker in Return. I'm sure he didn't. He die. I'm sure he's dead by now.
He's dead.
He's very dead.
Nonetheless,
he's been dead a long time.
Nonetheless,
ago.
But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They could have CG'd him. They could have CG'd. But then those. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, we apologize.
That would be like the nitpickiest of nitpicky things for like a Star Wars. Some Star Wars fan has that opinion. I guarantee it. They could have taken Sebastian Stan's dialogue from the Return of the Jedi and put it in there somehow.
Listen,
I think
guys.
You mean Sebastian Shaw.
Sorry, whatever. Oh yeah, isn't Sebastian saying like Bucky Barnes?
Yes.
Yeah.
We need to get
Bucky
rid of all
this movie. They could have put the Winter Soldier in
all
here.
This.
Fuck
God
it. Fuck
damn
it.
It.
Fuck it.
No, not fuck it. Ladies and gentlemen, we apologize because this is what happens. If you're a longtime listener, you know when it comes to Star Wars, this is what happens. We get jumbled. We get all over the place. Saucy, finish your thoughts. Let's finish this out.
So, Star Wars, The Crimes of Grindelwald is... a disappointment.
Oh, fuck.
I do find it very concerning that this trilogy was not planned out ahead of time. Now we have a trilogy that is indicative of a schism between two directors, very different and very conflicting visions. That being said, it's a fun, entertaining ride. There's cool Star Wars-y stuff. The spaceships go boom and the lightsabers go vroom. And that aspect of it satisfied me very much. There's, like I said, the cast, fantastic performances, especially from Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver. Emotional beats that really worked for me. I chuckled. I marveled at the amazing production design, creature effects, even though I was very nauseated by the constant lightning and strobing effects in the third act. The final scene was very touching for me. So as a Star Wars fan, it's difficult to reconcile, but as a film, I have to give it a 6 out of 10.
And I'm going to step in right after you here with this. And I agree with pretty much everything you said. As I said, the day after I saw it, I was going to try to keep mum about this, but you know, I felt it was as satiatingly satisfying as it was terribly disappointing. I mean, it's literally middle of the road, as middle as it goes for me. But I have to really look at it, what made me feel more and what made me feel more were the positive aspects of the film. And it's not great. It's not even really good. But I understand what they had in front of them and what they had to do. And I applaud JJ for doing as decent of a job as he did. And, you know...
Yes, because wrapping everything up while also introducing 500 new things for some reason is a tough task.
Well, it's definitely a tough task. And, you know, when it comes down to it, I don't think anyone could have ever done it perfectly. And I think it was a task that I commend him for, you know, coming in and saying, sure, I'll do this, because he didn't even want to do The Force Awakens in the first place because he's a huge fan. He did that. And that movie got too much shit because of how derivative it was of the older movies. And then the fans got something new and fresh, and they didn't want that either, so we would just went right back to the old, same old thing.
Because Star Wars fans don't know what the fuck they want.
They don't know what they want, and that much is
apparent
here.
Everyone has a different idea of what Star Wars should be, and that's why, you know, it could never be...
Well, it's so personal. It is, I think, the most personal thing out of any film franchise ever, because it started so many people's careers, it started so many people's love of cinema. It was that one breakout movie that kind of changed things forever. And I say that a lot, but it really, really is. And so for me, the good outweighs the bad. For me, it's still a good Star Wars movie. It's not great. It's getting a 7 out of 10 for me.
So Justin, you mentioned that it's not great and it's not even good. You're right, because it's fucking terrible. This is a horribly constructed movie. It is horribly fucking paced. It is horribly fucking written. And it makes narrative choices that are baffling. And you mentioned before the discussion you were having over on your Facebook with, this is wrapping up a story like the 30 years ago. That story finished in 1983. Return of the Jedi ended perfectly closed. JJ reopened this whole fucking thing. Okay. You didn't need to tie it back to the old fucking movies nearly as much as you fucking did. And when we first talked about this ages ago, YouTube days, way before the podcast was even a fucking thing, when the Disney sale was announced, when they purchased Star Wars from fucking George Lucas, this was my biggest fear, that it was going to cow way too fucking hard into nostalgia, and it was going to suck that big fucking nostalgia dick so fucking hard and not care as much about developing new characters. Aside from Kylo Ren and Rey, it didn't give a fuck about new characters whatsoever. And it still had to tie them in 17,000 different ways to the old trilogy, to the old characters, everything. Terrible. This movie was fucking terrible. And I didn't get a chance to mention a lot of the final battle. I hated the fucking final battle in this movie. There's just all of a sudden this massive fucking armada of all these different fucking ships shows up. You can't even tell what's going on the fucking screen. It's like a Michael Bay film. It's visual fucking noise. It's
fucking
garbage.
Number 432 is about to hit, ladies and gentlemen.
Garbage. Fucking absolutely hated it. 3 out of 10. I rate all the prequels positively. I even passed the prequels because I love enough about them with all of their flaws and failures. 3 out of fucking 10. I walked out of the fucking theater completely stone-faced, no emotional reaction, and then I just started getting mad about all of the insanely baffling choices. For every good choice, every one thing that this movie did good or that I enjoyed, there were 10 different fucking things that I was like, why did you do this? And especially bringing Palpatine in, Palpatine as a fucking character doing any of that is so, so pointless, because it adds a half an hour to the fucking movie that's already bloated and overlong, and you could have simplified and made everything so, so much fucking easier. 3 out of 10. Fuck this fucking movie. I will watch every single other Star Wars movie again 100 times. I will never watch this piece of shit again in my entire fucking life.
So looking back at the sequel trilogy, you have to wonder, what was the point? Other than to make Disney lots and lots of money.
They had to make that money back from the, you know, purchase of Star Wars, which they have by now.
Which, yes, they have, thanks to The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi and Rogue One and all that. So looking back at this, what was the point? Because I understand why lots of Star Wars fans are upset. It's like, now Luke's dead, Han's dead, Leia's dead. So I am so looking for... Chewie did get him at that. That's very true. So looking at this, I'm looking forward to closing the door on the Skywalker saga. I would love to see something new, not connected in any way at all.
Please, for the love of God.
To the past. Let's look ahead to an exciting future with Star Wars.
I'm going to say it because I know a lot of people want it. And listen, I played Knights of the Old Republic like 10 fucking times. I love that game. It's an amazing game, and it's an amazing fucking story. Don't make it into a movie. Don't do it. Please.
They're going to do it.
Don't do it. They're going to do it, probably, because it's a logical fucking conclusion.
There's money to be made.
There's money to be made, and it's Disney. But just Disney. There's profit to be had. Sorry, Simpsons joke. But just something brand new in Star Wars. This is such an expansive universe with so much amazing opportunity. You can literally write anything, anywhere, and just slap a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away on it. And that's all the justification you need to make it happen. Period. That's all you fucking need. You don't need to get into a whole bunch of tying shit in. Like I said, this was my worst fucking fear. And like, when I watch scenes like that, like, I'd be legitimately groaned out loud when they hand Chewbacca the fucking medal. Fine, it's a funny thing. It's like, oh, ha ha ha, because everybody always said they didn't give Chewie a medal in A New Hope. But it's fucking stupid, and it doesn't need to be in a fucking movie.
The end. I'm done.
So that, ladies and gentlemen, please, over on social media, let us know what you thought. This is, I mean, easily lowest rated Star Wars movie that we've ever ranked on the show, period. I mean, Justin usually gives them 9s or something. So, you know, I mean, it just, I mean, it kind of,
I think
is what
I even,
it is.
I think I even gave Solo, well, I think I gave Solo a 7.
We both really like Solo. We both really like Solo. Yeah, but regardless, whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, let us know over on social media. Do you agree? Do you disagree with our thoughts on the film? Of course, we'll have threads. We've got threads. We've already had threads for reactions and everything like that all over social media and everything. But we've already run long on this episode. So, Loy Sauce, tell them where they can find us out there on the web.
You can find us anywhere you listen to good podcasts or otherwise, Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, and you can also find us on social media at Epic Film Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and join us on our fan group, our fan community, the Hopesters Dumpster on Facebook.
Absolutely, and ladies and gentlemen, on Monday, on the Monday episode, live stream for the Cure announcements, the fitness challenge, and we're going to review Bombshell. Justin and I got a chance to see that and review it, and Justin and the Sauce talk about
cats.
He was leaning in. I was just waiting. He was ready for it. He was just ready to get in there. So we love you. We really, really appreciate everybody out there taking time to listen to the review and taking time to listen to the show, subscribe to the show, everything. We absolutely love you. I smacked my boom. I was so excited. Thank you all so, so much out there, everybody, for listening. Until next time,
we will see you
at the movies.